loves us like we're his only child. He's been good to us, hasn't he? Amen. I tell you, the Lord is a good God. Are you glad he's good? Say amen. I'm glad he loves us and takes care of us. A beautiful, beautiful song. God bless you. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We've been studying through this book together, and we've come to chapter 11 of this book, asking the Lord to speak to our hearts. I want to remind all the deacons to be right in your place at 6 o'clock tonight in the blue room. And a special service tonight. I hope you'll be here as we appoint 4 new deacons here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I want to meet with those men and their wives tonight at 5:30. And then all the deacons at 6 o'clock there in the blue room. Both of those meetings will be in the blue room. This will be a shock to you, but I'm only going to get started today with this message. I know that's a shock to you, but anyway, we appreciate you being here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 1. I'm going to read down through verse number 6. That's as far as I'll get today. Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, and I quote, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be." In other words, wherever it falls, that's where you're going to find it, okay? Verse 4, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." That's as far as I'll get today. God has done such a work in my heart this week, in the study, asking God to bless this and touch it. These things are so practical today, it's ridiculous. But these are truths that if you'll let God speak to your heart, change your life. I'll be honest with you, if you don't need this today, you will. Not all the points, but it'll make sense as we go through them. I'm beginning a message today that I've simply entitled Life Lessons. Just lessons about life. Practical truths about life. Let me pray with you and let's ask God to speak to us, shall we? Father, would you touch this? Would you bless this today in this auditorium? Fill us with your power and spirit, I pray. I need you. I pray for the children's churches going on. I pray for the nursery and preschool and primary and junior churches and the Pathfinders class. Those that are teaching and speaking in these areas, I pray that you'll fill them with your power and spirit. Deal with our children in a great way today. Deal with us here in a wonderful way. And take these 3 truths and embed them in our hearts and minds where we cannot get away from them. May your will be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue our study through this book, this chapter is once again packed full of practical truths to help us in our everyday lives. I agree with Pastor Clarence Sexton, who said God wants us to enjoy life. He really does. It's a blessing to realize that our great God is not out to make us miserable. He wants us to have a joyful life and get the most out of it. However, in order to do this, we must live in submission to Him, who is the author of life. He's the one who knows how to live a full life with all of his blessings. After all, life comes from him, you see. There are many trying to live life in their own way and doing their own things. But they will soon learn that life does not pay and lead to a joyful, that life, a life where they just do their own things, that they'll soon learn that that life does not pay and lead to a life of joyful, filled things. It doesn't lead to a God-blessed life. I want God to bless my life, don't you? And I'm telling you here that I want to enjoy this one life God has given to me to live for Him. And in order to help us, this chapter brings out life lessons. simple. Things we already know. But we just need to understand them and apply them to our lives today. I'm going to get to three of them this morning. They come in twos, like two verses at a time. There's five of them through this chapter. There's 10 verses. Aren't I good at dividing? You take two, there's 5 points. I'm going to get to three of them this morning. Number one, life lessons, just lessons about life. In other words, if you want the most out of life, you need to learn these. Number one, live to give. Live to give. We see this in verses 1 and 2. I'm not going to read that again for time's sake, but you can look at it if you'd like to while I explain it. In these opening verses, these two verses, Solomon says to cast your bread upon the waters. And he said, you will find it after many days. He followed this up by saying, give a portion to 7 and 8, because we don't know what evil will be upon the earth. Now, to help us understand this better, you've got to understand the time in which it was written. Now, listen to this. The phrase cast thy bread is a reference to grain trading that they used to do back in this day by the shipping industry. The mention of 7 or 8, he's talking about 7 or 8 ships. In other words, he's saying, don't put your grain all in one ship. Divide your grain up among 7 or 8 ships. And it's in a reference to diversifying investments in case one or more of your ships would face a storm or tragedy, the evil that's mentioned here in verse number 2. Solomon's life here is to invest your life. He tells us to cast. When you cast something, that's a reference to total commitment. You're letting go of it. You see what I'm saying? That's opposed to withholding or hoarding to yourselves. He's saying when it comes to your resources, like your time, in other words, what you have to give, your time, your talents, your treasure, if you will, or when it comes to your abilities and opportunities in life, he's saying scatter yourself as much as you can, as far as you can. Here's what he's saying. Give your life away by investing it. See, wise people live to give as far and as wide as possible. The more of life that I give away, the more of that life becomes meaningful and valuable. Stay with me here. By living a life to give yourself away, the Lord has His way of making sure you will find it. Sounds like a verse, doesn't it? I'll come to it before long. See, somebody said those who embrace the value of living to give always have enough and usually have more than they need. Casting bread on the waters may seem a waste, and that nobody will know what you're doing. But God knows. And God will reward you in His time. Clarence Sexton put it this way. He said, I heard about a man who inherited over $500,000 and gave all of it to the work of God. He did not keep one cent of it. God gave that man great grace. He goes on to say, what would you do? And he follows it up by saying, we have something far greater value to invest than $1,000,000. It's called our life. Your life is worth more than money. The Lord Jesus said that you cannot put a price on a soul, and all through life we have these reserves. We'll say things like, "I'm going to go just so far. I'm only going to go to this speed." Do you ever consider casting your life to Jesus, trusting Him to do whatever He pleases with your life? It would be wonderful if we could find a body of believers who would go full throttle for Jesus Christ. Who would take off all the strings that are attached and give it all away to God. We should say, Lord, I'm yours entirely, completely, wholly, forever. Use my life. It's yours. When we do this, God promises that we will find our lives. As we think about this, listen to Proverbs 19:17. Listen to this. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Notice this now. Notice the expression in this verse, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Notice the expression, lendeth unto the Lord. You give a loan unto God. Let me ask you a question, does God need a loan? Now we need loans every now and then, right, to buy a house or buy a car, but God says here that if you live this kind of life, you're lending unto the Lord. Does that mean he needs it? Does that mean that you're loaning him something because he's in desperation for it? Is he about to go bankrupt, in other words? Is God a poverty case? No. Then why does he put it in that terminology? When I found this in my study, it just, wow. Let me tell you why God says that if you live a life like this, you're lending unto him, because God obligates himself. Listen to this, please. God obligates himself to us as a debtor to a lender. God always pays off what's lent to him. If you give somebody a loan, you're expected to pay it back, right? They're expected to pay it back. Let me ask you a question. Is the bank going to give you a loan and forgive you if you don't pay it back? No. God says this, that just like you get a loan from the bank and you're expected to pay it back, if you give me a loan, God says, I'll pay it back. Amen. I don't even know what all that means, but it sounds good, doesn't it? I'm telling you, nothing is lost that is done for God. Nothing. See, the devil is a master saying, if you give your life to God, you're going to lose it. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be terrible. That is a lie from the pit of hell is what that is. God knows that if you give your life to him, lock, stock, and barrel, that he's going to give it right back to you with his full blessings. The point in all of this is God wants us to learn the lesson to give our lives away for his glory, his work. And when we do, then we will find what life is all about. Dr. Clarence Sexton, once again, he said this. He said, the only life I have to live is the life that is left. I do not know how much of it's left, but I do know that I want to make the most out of it, end quote. The way to do this is to give it away. You know, we live in a world that says keep it all, hoard it all. Get everything you can. Suck everything you can out of life. Just get it all out of life that you can. That is opposite of the life that God wants to bless on planet Earth. God says, find as many ships as you can, as many other lives as you can, and give your life away. Give your life away. No matter whether you know it's going to come back without harm or not. Because he says, give it to seven or eight, because you don't know what evil is going to come. In other words, is it possible to give your life to God and somebody doesn't do anything good with it? Sure. But what somebody else does with it is not what we're to base our giving on. We're to give our life away, realizing that whether that ship crashes or not, God is going to bless this life and he will give it back manyfold. It takes faith to believe that. Why don't you try it? Won't you test it? In other words, have you really, truly, honestly given your life completely to God? Completely. No reserves. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll give it all. I want you to have everything. Have you honestly made that commitment? Be careful before you answer that in your heart. Oh God, I hope you don't call my child to Africa. Oh God, how in the world can you and I say that we've given everything to God if there's anything of hesitation in our heart for anything that God may call us to do? You with me today? It's a call for total commitment. Give your life away. Cast your bread upon the waters. Total commitment. Not wondering, is that ship going to make it or not? No, no, no. Just give it away. Trust God. You're giving him a loan, and he always pays his loans back. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, 24 to 26, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. In other words, the word of God says this, If you scatter, you'll increase. Now, folks, don't be so small that you think of just financial terms here. I'm not preaching financial prosperity. I'm in no way saying you give to God and you're going to be a millionaire. Forget all that nonsense. That's prosperity gospel, and that's not what I'm preaching. May I say the greatest things in life you can't buy with money. Amen. I'm talking about character and integrity and the blessing of God and peace that passeth understanding. I'm telling you, God has His way that when you give your life away, you increase. I can't explain it. You can't either. It's just the way it is. I've looked at my wife recently, and I've talked to her, and she's talked to me. You know, we talk quite often, you know. Isn't that a good thing? And we're looking at things, and we're like, compared to this and compared to that, where is it coming from? I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Like, where is it coming from? And she's like, you're right. Where's it? I don't know. I can honestly say, I don't know. Except that we're giving to God. God will not be a debtor to anybody. Do you trust that? Do you believe that? If you've not committed yourself to God, you don't. Just like I wouldn't either if I've not committed myself to God. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. The same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And here's the verse I was talking about, Matthew 16:25. Jesus said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. There's a lot of people who have never found their life because they're just trying to hold on to everything. I'm telling you, let go of it. Give it to God. Cast your bread on the waters and sit back and watch what God will do in your life. Are you giving your life away for God or are you hoarding it for yourself? There's no middle ground. There is no middle ground. Well, I'm giving part to God and part to myself. That's not the way the Lord looks at it. The Lord does not look at it and say, thank you for giving me 50% of your life. I appreciate that. God bless you. God doesn't do that. God says, I want it all. And when we give Him all, He gives it right back with His blessings. This is number one lesson. Number two lesson, verses 3 and 4. What does this mean where it says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves. If a tree falls wherever it falls, there it is. Verse number 4 goes on and says, if you observe the wind, you're not going to sow, and if you regard the clouds, you're not going to reap. What's that sound like to you? Sounds like there's some things in verse 3 you can't do anything about. Doesn't it? When the clouds get full of rain, you can't stop it. It's going to rain. You can't stop it. And if a tree's falling, I'll guarantee you one thing, you're not going to stop that either. And wherever it lands, boy, this is a shocker, there it shall be. But if you observe the wind and the clouds, you'll never do anything. You know what the point is? Here it is, point number two. You better listen now. You better get this one. We better get this one. Here it is. Don't let circumstances determine how you live. Don't you let circumstances determine what you do for God. See, in these verses, Solomon brings out how if the clouds are full of rain, they're just going to empty themselves upon the earth. And wherever a tree falls, there it's going to be. And he follows us up by saying, those who observe the wind will not sow. Those who regard the clouds will not reap. The emphasis here is we cannot allow our lives to be governed by circumstances that we cannot control. The rain, you don't control that. Fallen trees, you don't control that. If we wait until the conditions are perfect or even more favorable, then we'll miss the harvest altogether. We should live for the Lord regardless of circumstances. One preacher put it this way, stop creating good intentions filled with buts, ifs, and whens. But if this will happen, when this happens, if this will happen, I will. God doesn't want you to live that way. God wants you to do right regardless of the circumstances. There's a temptation for many who are Christians to just sit back and relax in the face of life's uncertainties. Play it safe. Don't rock the boat. Bide your time. Solomon takes a proactive, not a passive approach to life, but he does so with wisdom. We don't know which way the wind will blow. We don't know where the rain will fall. We don't know if it's going to be sunny or cloudy. If a tree falls, we don't know which direction it's going to fall. And all of these are uncertainties about life. But we cannot let these uncertainties cripple us. If we're going to do well in life, we will have to do many things under less than perfect or even good conditions. If we wait for perfect conditions, we will not do much. If you wait, God says, if you wait until it's not cloudy, if you're just going to base everything you do on the clouds and on the trees and on the wind, do you honestly think the wind's ever going to be favorable for what God wants you to do? Do you honestly think that the devil's not going to make sure there's some trees falling in the path where you're supposed to go? Come on, friends. If you are a Christian that says, I'll serve God when, I'll serve God if, I would serve God, but you are living in direct contradiction to what the Word of God teaches. By the way, there are no conditions where God says, oh, I understand, just keep your life for yourself. Go ahead. I get it. I'd do the same thing. Come on. The whole emphasis here is God wants our life. And He's saying whether the wind is good or not, give it to God. Whether the trees have fallen down or not, give it to God. Whether it's raining or sunshine, give your life to God. This is what He's teaching here. Once again, I quote Dr. Clarence Sexton. He said, what have you allowed to become a cloud in your life? Do you know that all of us have something with which to deal? All of us do. We must serve God in spite of it. He goes on to say, you may say, I'm married to someone who's not quite as sympathetic with the Lord's work as he should be. Wait a minute. Is that your cloud? You may say, I have a child that is, and fill in the blank, rebellious or ungodly or what. Wait a minute. Is that your cloud? What is your cloud? Well, I've got a job that. Is that your cloud? What circumstances have you allowed to cloud your life? Wherever we are unable and unwilling to get over something, that is where we have stopped in life. We do not get beyond that point. And if we regard the clouds, we will never reap the best things. If we regard the wind, we will never sow. What are these fallen trees? God said, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Don't let that stop you. You may say, there are things I cannot change. I cannot go back and live my life over again. It happened, so what? Okay? Go on. Serve God. Don't let that cloud and that fallen tree keep you just stagnated in the will of God. So fell the tree. What are you going to do? Make a memorial out of it? Are you going to gather around it and talk about it the rest of your life? There are people who allow the devil to work this way in their lives. They've had some tragedy or heartache, and I'm not belittling any of that. Please, if you've been here any stretch of the time, you know I'm not belittling any heartache here. But I know the devil will try to keep your face in the middle of it. And they have some tragedy or heartache, and they allow the devil to make a memorial out of it. He keeps bringing them back to it every day of their life. They say, if it were not for that, I could. But if we live long enough, every one of us will have some clouds hanging over us. If we live long enough, every one of us will have some rainy days. If we live long enough, every one of us will have some fallen trees. Ours may be different from someone else's, but we will all have them. We cannot allow our clouds to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Whatever that cloud is, God said if we regard it, it'll keep us from reaping. It's a very simple lesson and a very simple thought, but it touches every one of our lives. You see young people who have some little blemish in their past and they think, my life is all messed up. If that blemish is under the blessed blood of Jesus Christ, God already considers that they are in a land of unclouded day. And if they're Christians, they're seated with Him in heavenly places. They just need to go on and serve God. Do what God wants you to do. Stop looking at the circumstances. Look at Jesus. Trust Him. Even so, go on. End quote. Powerful quote. Let me ask you a question. Have you let a cloud or a fallen tree stop your progress for God? And clouds come in different shapes and sizes. Amen? Trees also come in different shapes and sizes. And I can about guarantee I've got them in my life. Things I can't change. There are some things I wish to God I could go back as a boy and change. I wish to God I could go back and change it. I can't. What am I going to do about it? Sit in the corner and suck my thumb and feel sorry for myself? I'm not trying to belittle. I'm not, please. It's an attack of the devil, friends. And it's not an attack against you. It's an attack against your God. Because he hates God. And he knows that if you cast your bread upon the waters, he knows that if you'll listen to this preacher and give your life completely to God, in spite of your clouds, in spite of your fallen trees, he knows if you'll give your life completely to God, that God will get glory out of your life. So he'll try to stop you from giving your life to God. And he'll say, look at them clouds. Aren't they big? Look how black they are. Good night. It's going to rain. You better stay in today. That tree's getting ready to fall. See it? It fell down. It's not where it's supposed to be. It's not bearing fruit like God intended it. Look at that. Look at that. It's a waste of a tree. Wait a minute. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad that even though every one of God's children have fallen trees and cloudy days, if you give your life to God, He'll bless it beyond measure. And He'll use it for His glory. Just determine now, I'm not going to let clouds and trees stop me in my progress for God. Are you listening? You better put that wherever you need to put it and remember it, because you're going to need it if you don't today. Amen. Let me give you a third one. Boy, this is another one that we need to just let grip our hearts. It's found in verses 5 and 6. Let me just read verse 5 for the emphasis here. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Can I paraphrase what that means? You don't know how the Spirit works. You don't know how a baby grows inside the womb. So how do you think you're going to figure out God who's doing everything? Here are two things he says nobody knows. But these are two things among all who maketh all. He's just trying to tell you, let me just give you two things I know you don't know about. You don't know how a baby grows. You don't know how that works. By the way, that's one way we know abortion is murder. Amen. Amen. I don't care what somebody says. It's murder. It only matters what God says. And I'm telling you that God says, you don't know. By the way, that's just a side point. That's not the main point, okay? You don't know how the bones of a baby is growing inside the mother's womb. You don't know the way of the Spirit. You don't know the works of God who makes everything. But then in verse number 6, he follows it up by saying, sow your seed in the morning and evening. What's the emphasis? Oh, ask God to help you get this. Here it is. Life lesson number 3. Don't let what you don't know keep you from what you should be doing. Now, folks, he brings this out. And the emphasis is there's many things we do not understand well. If God is God, He is. He's going to do some things we don't understand. Don't fret if some works of God are beyond your knowledge. Let God be God and simply marvel at His greatness. If then we cannot know Him in His ordinary works of nature, in other words, like the nature here of a baby growing in the womb and the way of a Spirit here, if we cannot know Him in His ordinary works of nature, in His works near at home, Much less can we know the works of God who makes it all. Our wisdom is just a drop in the bucket. Yea, just a drop in the ocean. Can our drop compare with His ocean? Our bucket shall soon take in the ocean, shall as soon take in the ocean as man the wisdom of God. There's no way a bucket can hold the ocean, in other words. And there's no way a man can fully comprehend God. If we could, He wouldn't be God, friends. We would be. One man said, he's essentially saying, don't do the math. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't do the, just obey the principle. Don't expect to figure out God's care. Just trust His heart. J. Vernon McGee put it this way. He said, I believe his point is simply this. Don't let what you don't know disturb what you do know. He said, let me give you an example. Any person knows enough to sit in a chair. He said, there's an empty chair in my study right now. Obviously not right now because he's with the Lord, but you understand what I'm saying with you. When he wrote this, he said, there's an empty chair in my study right now. He said, I don't mind getting up and going over there to sit down. He said, now there's a lot of things I don't know about that chair. I don't know anything about its construction, who made it, how it was made. But I do know that I can sit in that chair and it's going to hold me up. That's really all I need to know about that chair, that it's going to hold me up. So don't let what you don't know disturb what you do know. Some people never give their life to God because they can't figure Him out. And what I'm saying, I don't know who made that chair. I don't even know how they made it. I know some of you all know how. I don't. I don't know anything about this chair, but I know that. I don't know where it came from. I don't know who made it. I don't know any of that stuff. But there's one thing I do know, which is the most important thing to know. And that is, I know I can sit down in it and it's going to hold my weight. Are you listening to me? I don't know everything there is to know about God. There are unanswered questions. I think everybody has questions, and I don't think questions are a bad thing. We all have them. But if you're not going to do something for God until all of your questions are answered, you will never do anything for God. Because the fact of the matter is this, we are human beings, He is God, and I don't know Him completely, He knows me, but there's one thing I do know. You can trust Him. You can believe Him. You can take it to the bank. I'm telling you, He'll not let you down. Try Him. Amen. Don't let what you don't know keep you from what you know you should be doing. God says, you can't figure everything out. You cannot see with a human eye the development of a child in a mother's womb. You cannot see the little bones growing. Our certainty is that God will do His work. God says, don't try to figure it all out. Just do what you're supposed to do and leave everything else in my hands, He said. I guarantee I'll take care of it. We don't see what God is doing all the time, but we know that God is working. It's liberating when I don't have to figure it all out. Simply a desire to be a part of it. Whatever He's doing, it's whatever He does is good and it's going to work. He says you can't see a baby developing in a mother's womb, just like you can't see God working. But He is working. Even so, go ahead and do what you're supposed to do and let God work it out for your good and His glory. There are some who talk about doing what God wants them to do, but they're just as worldly and as carnal as can be because they will not do anything until they can figure out how it will all end. God says, you can be certain that I will work it out. How? I don't know. You don't either. But we know He's going to do it because He said He would. This is a faith walk. It's a faith life. The point is don't let what you cannot figure out keep you from doing what you know you should be doing now. And by the way, there are some things that we do not know. Therefore, if you must have all the answers before you do something for the Lord, then you will never do anything for the Lord. Don't let what you don't know keep you from sowing seed and going on for the Lord in the morning and evening of your life. It's always right to obey the Lord. Whether you're in the morning or whether you're in the evening, verse number 6, just keep sowing your seed. Not knowing completely all the details. But I know when we see the Lord, all of our questions will immediately be answered. Three lessons I taught you today. Well, I hope not me. I hope it's the Holy Ghost. Live by giving. Give your life to God. Stop holding on to it. Stop having reserves and cast your bread upon the waters. He's promised that you'll find it if you'll do that. Number 2, don't let clouds and fallen trees keep you from doing what God wants you to do. There's clouds, you can't do anything about it. Don't you wish sometimes you could? You needed sunshine today and it's rain. I'm raining cats and dogs. Don't you just wish sunshine and there it is? Folks, you can't do that. You can pray and God could do it, but I'm saying there are things you can't change. You try to go move a fallen tree by yourself. It's not going to happen, friends. There's fallen trees everywhere. There's clouds all the time. But God says don't let the clouds, the rain, and the fallen trees keep you from a God-blessed life. And then thirdly, He just gets right in our face. He does. And He says, there's some things I do that you do not understand. He says it in verse 5. The way of the Spirit, that's God's way. How bones grow in a womb? The Bible teaches God is putting that baby in the womb. God is putting that baby together in the womb. It's things God's doing. And God knows that He's made us to where we don't understand everything He does. But He tells us, just practical, don't let what you don't know keep you from doing what you do know you should be doing. Isn't that simple? But we make it so hard, don't we? Now what's the Lord saying to you? What is God speaking to you about? Is He saying, cast your bread on the waters. Let go of your life. Let's go ahead and start preparing for the invitation if you don't mind. Is He saying, there's that cloud and right now you see it. You know what it is. There's that fallen tree. And you not only know what tree it is, you know where it fell, you know when it fell, and you know the name of that tree. Is He saying, get over it. Let me bless your life. Don't let the clouds and fallen trees keep you from doing everything that God wants you to do. And then maybe there's somebody here that says, I've got questions that need to be answered. And until those questions are answered, I will not serve God. Look here, please. If those questions can be answered, they will be answered in His time. But it is possible that you could be asking a question that God says you will never know. And the devil tries to use that to keep you from what God wants you to be doing now. And God says, I know you've got questions. I just ask you to trust me and let me bless your life. Do what I want you to do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder today, what is God speaking to you about? Maybe you've come to this church service, but you've never asked Jesus into your heart. Maybe you've never asked the Lord to come inside to forgive your sin and trust you as and trust Him as your personal Savior. In just a moment when we extend the invitation, I encourage you to come. Let us take a Bible, a man with a man, a lady with a lady, and we'll point you to Jesus Christ. Well, today I wonder, as they begin to play through softly, has God spoken to you, Christian? Is the Lord dealing with you? Maybe it's about casting your bread upon the waters, living to give yourself away. Or maybe it's about a fallen tree or a cloud that you just can't seem to get over. And God says, I know it's in your life. I know it's a cloud and I know it's a tree. Hey, it's very real things. You understand? It's real things. It's not made up. It's real things. Maybe the Lord is saying, I want to give you victory over that. And don't let that keep you from serving me. Well, maybe I'm dealing with somebody that the third point helped. You needed to be reminded that you're not going to know everything. But yet God has a great work for you to do today. Don't miss what He wants you to do today because you can't figure it all out yourself. This is it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take it and use it, I pray. And if people need to respond, help them to respond. If somebody's here that's never trusted Christ, may today be the day of salvation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Those that are getting baptized, now is your time to make your way to get prepared. Now is your time. Father, take this and use it, I pray. May your will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing, if God is speaking to you, don't ever be ashamed to come and pray and talk to God. As he sings, you come now, would you please?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
They're playing through softly. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. This is a message that we all need to put it into our hearts and minds and not get over. It's one we'll continuously need. Giving our life to God. Not letting clouds and trees disrupt our progress for the Lord. And not letting what we don't know keep us from what we do. This is it. Maybe you're here today and never trusted Christ. This next verse is for you. You come. Let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Some of you need to come and lay a cloud down on the altar today. Some of you need to bring a tree and put it at the altar and say, I'm leaving it there. It's real in my life, but I'm not going to let it govern me. May the Lord help us with this. As Brother Gary sings, you come. Would you please?
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender.
Thank you very much. You may be seated. We do have a few folks being baptized here in just a minute. We'd like to go over a few announcements, different things that are going on in the life and ministry of our church. If you have your bulletin, please take that out. We'd like to draw your attention to just a few things, and then we'll have a few folks get baptized here in just a minute. The first thing that's not in your bulletin, if you were not here last Sunday night for Vision Night, Pastor presented some things as far as our church theme. Our theme for this year is being a church that pleases God. And just a few reminders for you, if you did not pick up this bulletin last week, please stop by the Welcome Center on your way out. This has some different things about Pastor's theme for this particular year for our church. In addition to that, you can pick up one of these ruler bookmarks as a constant reminder about our church theme. So again, if you don't have either of those items, stop by the Welcome Center and you can pick those up there. Inside your bulletin, in the middle section, We have a few things we'd like to go over. The main thing down at the bottom is our sweetheart dinner that's coming up on the 21st, which is a Thursday evening. That'll begin at 6:30. This is a great opportunity for you as a couple to come and enjoy a nice meal together. If you need childcare, we have that provided for you for all ages of children up through sixth grade. So we'd like to encourage you, please don't let that be a hindrance to you coming. We will be feeding the children as well, but we need to know how many kids are coming, what ages they are. So please, couples, stop by the table in the lobby. You can purchase your tickets there. The cost for those, you can see right in your bulletin here, is $15 per couple. And this is going to be a steak dinner. We've got steak, baked potato, salad, and cheesecake. Sounds great to Brother Gary. So we'd love to encourage you to be here for this and encourage another couple to come. Here's something that we've done as a little extra incentive, a little extra leverage for you to get others to come. For each couple that purchases a set of tickets, again, $15 for a pair of tickets, you will receive a complimentary set in order to invite someone else to come. Don't have to pay for that extra set. This is an opportunity for you to get someone here to hear a brief message from the Word of God. Brother Cody Sturgill and his wife Ruth from Chilhowee, Virginia will be here. We're excited to have them. They'll be singing. He'll be preaching for just a little bit as well and enjoying a lovely evening together with a steak dinner in front of us. And everyone said, amen, right? So if you have any questions about that, please let us know. But stop by the table on your way out today. Sign up today. Couples, make sure you purchase those tickets. Men, just go ahead and stop by there. Go ahead and buy the tickets for your wife and say, hey, this is just a part of your early Valentine gift, right? They'll love you for that. Right, good. Another announcement we have is an usher meeting this afternoon at 6 o'clock. This will take place in the Home Builders classroom. Little side note to that, if you are ushering and you're also a deacon, go to the deacons meeting first. So those of you deacons who are ushers also, pastor asks that you go to the deacons meeting. Everyone else who ushers, please go to the Home Builders classroom, which is located in the gymnasium, for the meeting at 6 o'clock for all ushers. And I think that's all I have. Any other announcements, Brother Gary? One more thing. If you have a teenager, we have extended the deadline for Joshua Camp. That deadline is today. If you would like for your teenager to go to Joshua Camp at West Coast Baptist College, please see me today and we'll get them signed up for that. Trying to hopefully purchase plane tickets this week and looking forward to seeing what God's going to do through the camp ministry out at West Coast this year. Thank you. Ushers, if you'll come, we'll receive the offering. Sorry about that. And let's go ahead and pray for the offering. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege to be here. Lord, we pray that you help us as we worship you through the avenue of giving. Help us to give exactly what you would like us to. And Lord, I pray that you'll use this to further your kingdom. Thank you so much for the privilege to worship you through this avenue. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
brand new deacons.